A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the earliest years of the life of the church, the passion of Jesus Christ, with all the other events of the life of our Lord, had not yet been put into written word. The contents of the New Testament have as their earliest elements the epistles of St. Paul. As churches were planted, the gospel was preached verbally. Indeed, most of the letters of St. Paul come to us in their current form as follow-up messages to the original evangelization, which was not by the written word, but the spoken word. The Gospels, written at the earliest, at least 20 years after Christ, are the record of eyewitnesses who, for the sake of posterity, finally put down what they had seen or heard, cherished stories of Jesus' teaching, his miracles, his passion, his resurrection and ascension, as they realized that the first generation of Christians might pass away before Christ returned. For those who've been tracking along with the gospel passages for Holy Week, we have worked our way through the passion of Christ according to Saints Matthew, Mark, and Luke from Palm Sunday until the Wednesday of Holy Week. And today, Maundy Thursday, we begin to hear from John. We complete that tomorrow on Good Friday. St. John, who was perhaps the youngest of the apostles, wrote his gospel last after the other three had been written, and his is different. As the end of St. John's life approached, his own disciples likely began to plead with him to write down the stories that he had told them over and over again, stories that Matthew and Mark and Luke had not included in their accounts, which everyone had known by that time. And as tradition had it, John proceeded to do so with the likely purpose of supplementing those other writings with insights from his own experiences as a beloved disciple, one who had witnessed all. And we hear from one of those passages tonight, a most important commandment, a mandate of our Lord. It's difficult for us sometimes to understand the meticulous nature of oral tradition, by the way, in the ancient world, since we have lived so long in the world of the printing press, and then the typewriter, and then the computer, and now the internet. When the Old Testament scrolls, though, of the Qumran caves were discovered and examined in the 20th century, resting untouched for 2,000 years, scholars were astounded to find that there was hardly a letter's difference between those texts and the other oldest text they had from the 10th century. 1,000 years had gone by, 1,000 years of copying and passing scriptures along with meticulous methods of preserving sacred texts, and they had not allowed the alteration of hardly a word. It was in that culture, that same culture of meticulous preservation of sacred accounts, that St. John, who was present in the upper room where Jesus delivered his farewell discourse, he recorded what he saw there, so that we, all these centuries later, can also envision just exactly what Jesus would teach his disciples last, as the most important moments of his passion approached. Jesus knew that it was not simply words that the followers needed, it was action. And so, before the bewildering events of the next few days, Jesus taught them by his actions precisely what that was about to come really would mean. Matthew, Mark, and Luke had recorded what was instituted at that Last Supper, which we celebrate tonight. That on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you." How afterwards he took the cup and in the same way declared, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." These words coupled with this action, the Lord commanded his disciples and all of his followers to do. This was indeed a command of our Lord, and attached to the institution of the sacrament of the body and blood of Christ. It is what we celebrate this night and why the colors turn to white and the flowers return and the gloria and the veils for a short time brighten. Christ instituted a sacrament by which we may enjoy real and continual renewed union with him and therefore with one another, a holy communion indeed. But the night is called Maundy Thursday, Mandate Thursday, because Jesus had another action that we commemorate this night. The commandment of our Lord for which the day has been named Maundy Thursday is the command that John recorded, hearing our Lord say on this night after that beautiful first Last Supper. St. John recorded, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, gave to his followers the sacrament of his body and blood. Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took a towel and a basin and washed the feet of his disciples. Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, would not allow St. Peter to abstain from having his feet washed, for to be served by the Lord was part of the mandate of Christ also. There could be no standing aside and observing. And Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, summarized all that he had done and was doing and was about to do with one final and grand commandment. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, a mandate, that ye love one another as I have loved you. On the night in which he was betrayed, he commanded his followers, that ye also love one another, saying, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. God the Father, who is love, sends God the Son, who is love, filled with the Holy Spirit, who is love, to save humankind in the most selfless and self-giving and loving act the world had ever seen and ever would see. Now, those who follow Jesus and would take the name Christian would be called his disciples, and they could be recognized by their attendance at church, and they could be associated with their practice, observance, and reception of the sacraments. But by all this, men would know that we are the disciples of Christ if we love one another. This is the commandment we receive today. In the earliest years of the church, when there were no New Testament scriptures to read or preach, when the sacrament of the body and blood of Christ was observed behind closed doors, with only the fully initiated remaining in the room as the sacrament was administered, in the earliest moments when Jesus himself spoke the words of institution that we repeat at every consecration of his body and blood, he was summarizing what he was doing and what he would do in the coming days with one word, love. As we stare in wonder these last days of Lent at the betrayal and abandonment and condemnation and scourging and crucifixion of our Lord, let us not forget that these things he knew would come to pass when he spoke to his disciples and to us, the words handed to us without error, without impediment, without alteration, from the witness of the apostles themselves, who watched him suffer the next few days and obeyed him faithfully, as they understood only as his passion was completed just what he meant. What we are meant to understand as we come to understand his passion too. A new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.